First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can find all the latest or any archived stories we've done over the years, as well as finding the latest and greatest episode of this show and anything on the MVM Radio Network. And while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join our RSS feed and our email newsletter. We'll make sure everything gets sent direct to your inbox when we update or anything else. In the meantime, a couple of quick notes for this week. This is a week beginning June the 2nd. Dale the Truth Gillespie is now on in a new day, same time, 7 p.m. as all of our shows are. But Dale the Truth Gillespie show, the TNT show, has moved to Tuesday night instead of Thursday night. So for you guys who are fans of that show and listen to that show religiously, and we know you do, just make sure that, you know, you make a show note of that. Dale will be on Tuesday nights instead of Thursday, and I will be taking Thursday nights. We did a little swap because he had some job considerations. The second thing, Ed Martin will not be here this week. He, of course, is busy running that business Barack Obama built for him, so he has to be out of town himself. He's on out-of-town business this week, taking care of that end of it. So you're stuck with me 3 days this week. Sorry about that. And we'll get through it, I promise you. For you guys that are new to the show, as always, call our numbers 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, hit that little number one on your dial pad. We appreciate you being there. But when you hit that number one, it tells us you want to be heard on air, and I will get you on as soon as I can. And for everybody else, if you just want to kind of check out the chat room or see what's going on, you can log into the chat room right here at Blog Talk. You can do that through your Facebook account, your Twitter account, and a whole host of other opportunities. So there's all kinds of ways to get in touch with us. You know, we've had a lot going on the last few weeks. I know I've been busier than heck trying to keep up with the news, and we've got some great announcements coming in the very near future, I hope, for some projects we've been working on. However, one of the big sources of news last week, and it's still continuing now, is this big thing about LG&E and the surcharge fee. It's interesting because I tell you, this surcharge fee has kind of taken on a life of its own. We here at the show, and everybody I know, has said hell no to the LG&E surcharge that Democratic Mayor Greg Fisher and a prominent Democratic Metro Council members, including President Jim King, wants to put on our LG&E bills. Now, they say they're making LG&E pay this surcharge fee of 3.5%, because it will generate $4.8 million, and Jim King tried to tell everybody that there's 160 cities across the state that pay it already, so we should be paying it too, trying to make us believe that LG&E doesn't pay any money, even though they use the roads every day. Well, that's a lie. LG&E pays $600,000 a year and has for many years to the city of Louisville for public use right-of-ways. So let's not give in to those lies. What is interesting, though, as it came out of committee last week, there were seven committee persons there, four Republicans, three Democrats on the committee. Marianne Butler recused herself from the committee vote because she is employed by LG&E, so she actually did the right thing for once. But what was interesting to me was here the Republicans had a great opportunity to not even get this thing out of committee on a party-line vote. If the Republicans vote on the party line vote 4-3 and stand up to their no new taxes or you know, smaller government, smaller revenue, that kind of a deal, this wouldn't even be a discussion right now. But it didn't work out that way. The three Democrats, Rick Blackwell, Dan Johnson, and Vicky Welch, have never seen any kind of a fee or a charge that they don't like. These guys love everything about taxes and bringing in more money for themselves. So we expect that from them. Republicans Kevin Cramer, Marilyn Parker, and Jerry Miller voted against the ordinance. So they lived up to their promises, so I've got a lot of respect for them. The one that's puzzling in this mess for me is Kelly Downard. Councilman Kelly Downard is someone I consider a friend and have considered a friend. I'm not sure he's going to feel that way after this, but you know, the reality is we don't need this 3.5% increase. The Republicans are always talking about less government, less taxes, and things like that, even at the Metro Council level right here in Louisville. We had a great opportunity to back that up, and Kelly Downard sided with the Council of Democrats on a committee to pass this out, and we now have a full vote scheduled for the Metro Council this Thursday on this 3.5% LG&E surcharge fee, or we should say LG&E tax to we, the people of Louisville. And what's interesting, too, here is that this doesn't apply to everybody. No. This is basically going to apply to all of us. It's not going to apply to those who live in the fifth or sixth class cities. You know, if you live in you know, the city of Hurstbourne Acres, for example, this isn't your problem. The city of Shively, this isn't your problem. You know, so this is very, very interesting to me. How we've allowed ourselves to get into this. Once again, it's another invisible tax. Though on top of this, MSD just announced a 5.5% rate increase, which we all knew was coming. Louisville Water Company will raise rates again this year. So it seems the city of Louisville has decided that if they can't get new taxes with the local option sales tax to abuse us, that they feel like they can go ahead and add on these surcharge fees to everything we do, water, sewage, electric. These are disturbing trends, and we need to get control of that now. There's no doubt about that. And since I mentioned invisible taxes, I didn't think it would take long for this phone to ring. How are you, Mr. Holliger?
Good evening, Ed, and Ed's audience for tonight. Taxes and this particular community's political leadership always wanting to tax something else is just It's incredible. It's, you know, we spoke a few weeks ago about cities such as Indianapolis and Nashville, who 3 and 4 decades ago were trailing behind Louisville in terms of all sorts of economic development. Well, obviously, those two cities have surged and leapfrogged way ahead of Louisville. And Ed, I cannot believe that has been caused by anything other than Louisville's parochial view of the way they run the government. Okay? It's insane. This guy that's in charge of things, this Greg Fisher guy, I'll tell you what, more and more, and with each passing day, he's beginning to look like a local equivalent of Barack Obama. And that is, he simply says the people are there, ripe for the picking, let's pick. And he's got co-conspirators on the Metro Council. Well, but the co-conspirators on the Metro Council committee that you alluded to, you said Welch and Johnson and Blackwell.
Yep.
You know what the irony is in those three Democrats is that those three Democrats are all from the South End, which is considered by most folks to be the home of the working man and woman these days. So these three Democrats from the South End insisted on siding with Greg Fisher instead of with the hardworking men and women of the South End. Now, I don't know about you, but I consider that to be a slap in the face. Taking money out of the pockets of hardworking men and women just so that one human being, Greg Fisher, can look good. That's the only purpose.
Well, it actually goes a lot further than that, which I'm going to explain here in a couple of minutes. But I agree with that assessment, Paul. It is a slap in the face because the South End is typically the bread and butter, low-wage, blue-collar workers. You know, they scrimp and everything they can to get by. They continue going after us. And these same people, the same Democratic mafia, if you will, because that's why I always call it Democrats in this town, because they run it like a mafia. But when you look at Blackwell, Welch, Johnson, and those guys that are Democrats on the council, the hardworking men and women in this city, a lot of them are union workers. And the unions still endorse these clowns and give them money and resources to get elected so they can take even more out of their pocket. Explain that one to me, because I don't get that either.
Well, first of all, I want to take exception to a phrase that you use as far as the South End being low wage. I disagree with that. I think the South End has got a whole bunch of people who try to live within their means, okay? And it makes no difference what the household income is. They try to live within their means. And the government of both of Louisville and Kentucky could take some lessons from the people of the South End on that issue. One of the things that I never hear the Democrats in Louisville, and I never have heard Vicki Welch or Dan Johnson or Rick Blackwell, South End Democrats, ever say is, why can't we find a way to cut expenses in government? I never hear that as an option. I only hear, let's take more money out of the pockets of the hardworking men and women in Louisville in the form of some kind of hidden tax. This is clearly a hidden tax, clearly. And that's part of the reason it's been proposed, Ed, is because it's going to appear on your LG&E bill. How many people do you know all of the different taxes they pay on all of the different services that they get? Can you tell me anybody who knows all of the taxes that are imposed on their telephone bill, their cable bill, their insurance bills? No. So
they can't even keep up with it anymore.
Well, the politicians use this, and they are getting away with it because people are saying, it's easier to pay the $20 a year than it is to go out and hold these people accountable. And in the big scheme of things, it is actually less expensive to hold these people accountable by getting rid of them. Say, you raise my taxes, you cause more money to come out of my household for money that you never earned. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's right. Fisher believes he is a disciple of Obama. You didn't build that, right? But
well,
nonetheless.
You know, well, let's do this, Paul. Let's do this because, you know, you and I have worked together on MSD. You know, Stop It led the way and exposing MSD, and I led the way in reporting the information. So let's talk about this for a minute. They continually talk in small numbers. It's like this LG&E increase they're talking about. It's only going to be $20 a year per household. Now, that don't sound like a lot of money the first time. But let's talk about the MSD portion of this, because back in 2006, MSD started going on steroids, and I think 2007 was when they had the one-time 32% increase, okay, and they've increased every year 5 or 6% since then. So every year, if you just want to use that as the model, every year things are going up $15 to $20 a year there. So in 6 years, now you're paying, you know, a couple hundred bucks more a year through MSD. You throw in the LG&E, they raise rates every year or two. You know, you throw in, you know, the Louisville Water Company.
Well, hold on. You can't throw LG&E in there, Ed, for one simple reason. LG&E is a private company. It's a private company. The Louisville Water Company, as well as the Metropolitan Sewer District, are all inextricably tied to government. MSD is quasi-governmental, and Louisville Water Company is a wholly owned company whose sole stockholder is the city of Louisville. And let's go one step further. Everybody thinks Churchill Downs, and I've mentioned this numerous times, Churchill Downs is a private company. Well, the corporation is, but the track is not. The track is owned by the city of Louisville and generates zero real estate taxes for the state coffers, for the local coffers in terms of real estate taxes, and nothing for the school board in terms of real estate taxes. Okay, all of this is being done by the same people like Greg Fisher. So a mutual friend of ours, Ray, and I won't go into who's the president of Stop It, he, when Fisher came to office, he thought that Fisher deserved a break. Well, I told Ray that Greg Fisher was Jerry Abramson light.
Mm-hmm.
And Fisher has proved that to be true.
Well,
more
the
invisible
point,
taxes because of our politics.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And you know, when I mention LG in there, I just mean as far as our utilities, because it's the one thing. It's the one thing we want our water, we want our electric, we have to have sewage. You know, so when we look at all that into play, the utilities is the most obvious target for these guys to try to manipulate. And two out of three of them, you're right, Louisville completely controls. As a matter of fact, the mayor is the one who appoints the leaders of the Louisville Water Company, MSD, and just about every other organization you can imagine. So when we look at all of this, and he also appoints the leader of GLI, and I'll explain that one in a second because everybody's going to think I'm lying, but I'll explain it in a second. But here's the thing, though. That's the whole point. When we look at this year, oh, it's only $20 a year. It's only $20 the first year. The next year, it's even more because they're going to raise the rates again. The year after that, it's even more. So when we look at MSD as a cumulative total, you know, we're now spending, you know, a couple hundred bucks a year more just on MSD, not counting the other utilities. And that's the concern, because this is just yet again. Now they're not satisfied with that. You know, they're not satisfied with anything. So now, since they didn't get the local officer sales tax that they wanted to exploit, which ironically, you know, is a miracle because it was right around the same amount they projected to gain, somewhere around $4.8 million that this miracle surcharge fee is going to give them. You know, this is a big concern. So the people of Louisville need to understand this. For you guys who are living within your means and you don't really have extra money to go out and do different things, how far would $500 or $600 a year go for you? Would that be gas money for a weekend vacation with your family? You bet it would. That's the money you don't have right now because they continue doing this to you every year, and it's going to get worse going forward. Our incomes are not keeping up with the crap that these Democratic mafia is continuing to try to throw on us, and that's a big concern. You know, when we look at this, these invisible taxes, Paul, I mean, anybody that knows anything about Louisville or does any research whatsoever will find the same thing that we have been saying for years. Louisville is the fourth highest taxed city in the country, period. The combined local tax burden in Louisville is the fourth highest in the country. To give you some example, our good friend Tom McAdam actually did a story on this a couple of years ago when he was with the Examiner. And Tom will actually be joining Louisville politics in the near future, folks. We've gotten him on board. But let's look at this. A family of three earning $150,000 in Cheyenne, Wyoming, their tax burden is 3.1%. Now, I'm going to the West Coast for a reason, because usually taxes out on that end are a lot higher. I'm not even going to get into California stuff. But let's use that, 3.1%, or about $4,700 a year on a $150,000 income. That's the lowest of any city in the country. Louisville, for the same family making $150,000 a year, would have paid $18,000, or a total of 12% of its income. So you've got a tax burden of 3% in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is the lowest tax burden in the country, to Louisville being the fourth highest at 12% of our income. And we wonder why we can't attract business or create jobs. This came from the Office of Revenue Analysis. It's part of the government in Washington, D.C. So when you look at all of this stuff and add it up, it's all based on property sales, auto, and some income taxes. When you look at all of this, it's amazing. I mean, it literally is amazing. Wyoming has a 5.2% unemployment rate. Louisville's unemployment rate is dramatically higher. You wonder why we can't get jobs and business in Louisville. Makes sense, doesn't it?
We can get jobs, Ed. It just so happens that they pay minimum wage, or in the case of restaurant servers, less than the state regular minimum wage. It pays the federal minimum wage of, what is it, $2.32 or an hour?
Something like that.
It's incredible in 2014 that human beings, with the consent and insistence of their government, are laboring for under $3 an hour, while at the same time that same government is condemning other nations who have people who are working for $3 a day. You know, they are our $3 a day people. By the way, in case you missed the 6 o'clock news, Seattle Metro Council today passed a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Right.
$15 an hour minimum wage. Okay. Now, that sounds good, except for one thing. The people who work in Seattle, and Seattle's home to a lot of university-type folks and some high-tech business, as well as I think that the Boeing Corporation is up that way. So we have a lot of highly skilled people. I can understand that happening in that environment. But if should something like that happen in Louisville, if I were on the Chambers of Commerce in Bullitt County or Oldham County or Clark or Floyd County in Indiana, I would make an all-out assault on luring people away from Jefferson County. Costs of living will be substantially lower, and you'll get all the benefits. That's what happened in Detroit. When Detroit went goofy and thought that they could tax their way into prosperity, look at it today. It's now having to wrestle with a federal bankruptcy hanging over its head, and people have fled. Detroit is on course, Ed, to have fewer people in its official population count than Louisville. And at one time, Detroit had 2.2 million. So,
there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
That's the insidious nature of taxes, whether they're out in the open or whether they're hidden. That's the inevitable
result. Well, you're right on that.
But
if you look at the taxes in Detroit as well, you had all that high taxation, and what else happened to Detroit? The Democratic politicians finally got caught in the pay-to-play. You started having people indicted, found out they were corrupt, they were getting into all these schemes, and they finally got caught. We are Detroit. We are Detroit South, if you will. That is Louisville. That's where all the crap started with us, bringing the stuff down from Detroit. It's the truth. The 65 corridor, we started bringing the crime, we started bringing the guns, we started bringing the drugs. So as Detroit started going further in decline, those drugs, thugs, and slug mentality, people came right here to Louisville. It's exactly what we're going through right now. But because of Detroit and Chicago, because we are too dumb to look at it. But wait a minute, are we that dumb, or is there more to the drug scene than we know? I can tell you, I've had multiple sources talk to me about who's really pushing drugs through this town, people that I truly believe, but I can't prove. And you would be shocked at the names that come out of their mouths. And you would be shocked at the game that's being played. That's the protectionism. That's the mafia style of the Democratic leadership here. That's why they get away with this. But to get back to this kind of stuff, though, I mean, it's really disturbing because I tell you, even GLI, and I want to bring GLI into this for a reason, because GLI, as we know, has been a dismal failure. It has been a dismal failure. They can't get leadership to run anything. So last week, on top of all this new fees and that stuff, MSD is raising rates, LG&E is doing the 3.5% surcharge fee for public right-of-way use of roads. All these things are going in. GLI comes out and sends a statement out on Friday with new leader Kent Oiler saying, hey, all our businesses, we don't support this. Call your Metro Council and tell them do not support this 3.5% fee increase. So the first thing we think is, wow, GLI is finally against taxes, because the local option sales tax, GLI was helping the mayor push. They wanted the local option sales tax. Now, this is an organization that promotes business and tries to entice new business, new jobs and everything else here in Louisville. But they liked the local option sales tax. So that was already the first indicator that Democrats run GLI, but we've already known that. So Kent Oiler comes in and says no on the LG&E tax. So we're thinking, well, maybe they were just right about Kent Oiler, except they weren't. Because at the same time they were doing that, they were also saying that the MSD 5.5% increase was okay. We understand the need for that. So they think that it's okay to pick and choose what's a good tax and what's not. That's not good to me. More importantly, I've had the weekend to research, and I got to research Mr. Oiler. And, folks, it is disturbing, the things that I've come up with, but I'm going to make this as simple as I possibly can. Kent Oiler is basically nothing more than the same as everyone before him and will be after him when it comes to GLI. And I don't say that easily, but I have to tell you this. In 2000, Kent Oiler, Greg Fisher, and Keith Williams were the contact people and on top of an organization called B Catalyst LLC. It was an employment agency. They had that thing from the year 2000 until 2010. So Kent Oiler and Greg Fisher are locked at the hip. In 2010, B Catalyst was sold to Hilliard Lyons and became a mid-merger type of company for Hilliard Lyons. In April of 2010, miraculously in the middle of Greg Fisher's mayor run, and nobody paid attention. So Kent Oiler and Greg Fisher go back a long way in business together. The interesting thing about this is, and this is where the link for me comes from, JCTC Board Chairman Lynn Fisher, Greg Fisher's sister, is also the CEO of Catalyst Learning. Now remember, the name of Greg Fisher and Kent Oiler's business was B Catalyst. Lynn Fisher is now the front person for that, renamed Catalyst Learning. They can say what they want to. But if you remember, Paul, a couple of months ago, I did a two-part series called Mayor Fisher's West Side Story on the website. And you guys can look at that at LouisvillePolitics.com. But that story outlined the workplace training facility, or the workforce training facility, that was being proposed and was on track to be built in the West End until Greg Fisher pulled the plug, because him and Lynn didn't want to be anywhere around Simmons College or downtown Louisville. In that, we outlined the fact that Lynn Fisher also is the CEO of Catalyst Learning, so she wants all of this worker training stuff to go through her firm, and she wanted total control of it. So they pulled the plug at 8th and Kentucky with Simmons College, and they decided to put it out in the East End with JCTC. Kevin Cosby, of course, got his full accreditation and $300,000 a year in federal grants. Does anybody honestly believe that Kent Oiler is going to be any different than anybody else, knowing just this one aspect? This is just one. There's a lot more to come. It's tip of the iceberg, and I'm going to tease you guys, but I'm going to give you a lot more. But, Paul, when we look at this, we look at the West End being ignored once again for any kind of redevelopment. We look at this Catalyst Learning, Greg Fisher, Kent Oiler, Lynn Fisher, all tied into this. You're talking about a $50 million project that they're going to be able to rake right off the top. And Kent Oiler, nobody could tell me yet how many jobs he has created or done. He's this miracle kid with all these upstarts. But yet, miraculously, they're very short on details as far as how many jobs he's created, how much of an economic impact he's had in this area. Oh, Kent Oiler has benefited well. He's benefited himself very well. But how many jobs has he created? So how is he going to lead GLI to create jobs when they can't even tell us what he's created? How is he going to be any different than anybody else when we look at Greg Fisher and Lynn Fisher, and we know the underhanded schemes that they went through to get their hands on millions of federal dollars? Now they're going to get millions of federal or state dollars. Can anybody honestly believe that Kent Oiler is going to do the job he's supposed to do? And this is nothing more than a sham hire by Greg Fisher at $250,000 a year. Your thoughts?
I'm going to respectfully disagree with that assessment that it's a Shanghai. I think it's more of a put-up myself, okay? And I'm going to base this on a statement that I made just a little while ago. Remember, I mentioned the fact that at one time Louisville was progressing ahead of Nashville and Indianapolis. Those were our two cities that we always used to be compared to. Both of those cities leapfrogged over us. Well, part of the reason is the same thing that you're kind of talking about, this parochial mentality, and that the folks that are in charge of things here, they really are quite satisfied. They're comfortable at the expense of everyone else. So Oilers' selection is simply that group of people making sure that their chosen one is in a position that they want them to be in, all right? That's part of the reason GLI has been having the problems that they've been having over the last few years. It's gone from a business development organization to a political fulfillment organization, all right? And we've seen that happen with a lot of local groups as well. You like to talk about the Democrat mafia. I will give you this much of that particular statement. I do believe that the people in charge, the politicians in charge, the Democrats in charge, absolutely go out of their way to make sure that they get somebody on the inside in as many organizations around town as they possibly can. All right? I've seen firsthand the Democrat infiltration of two groups that are out along the Dixie Highway area. One is now defunct, primarily because of that infiltration, and the other one is crippled severely because it went from a community improvement organization called the Southwest Dream Team to one that became nothing more than a political, an extension of the Democrat Party. So, and it's crippled right now. It's crippled. It's having a tough time because it became political. So the GLI is not exempt from that, except I think that the stakes are even higher with GLI.
Well,
I think it's even higher.
I don't think so. I ultimately think, and I still stand by my statement as far as GLI is concerned. I guess I'll give you the first 3 years of GLI. When GLI was first put together, the focus and the message and the intent was real clear. And working towards that goal of promoting business within Louisville and all this other stuff, they have never been a chamber of commerce. They have been an acting chamber of commerce. There's a big difference. The city paid them $950,000 a year to basically talk to people on their behalf. Now, the city has taken that $950,000 back, and ironically, they're going to hire the same failed people from GLI that threw GLI in a mess because they're going to take care of their Democratic buddies. This is political payback. And, of course, that $950,000 a year that they paid to GLI to outsource that so-called Chamber of Commerce is now going to become $4 or $5 million a year to the city, because now you're going to have them on payroll, matching funds, retirement, all the other stuff that goes with it. But GLI is still going to be used as political favor. If Ken Oiler is so successful and doing so great, then he doesn't need a full-time job as a puppet for the Democratic mafia and Greg Fisher and the Democratic Council. $250,000 a year is chump change, right? Kent Oiler has been very good at making himself a commodity at the expense of everything else. And this, to me, just proves that the city of Louisville is still going to control GLI, even though they're trying to act like they're now separate agencies. And I don't think anybody can argue with that. We've got to go to a quick break. When we get back, Paul, if you stick around, we'll put you on a little bit more. We're going to go to a quick break and bottom of the hour break, and we'll get into a lot more of this stuff. You're listening to the Ed Franklin Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Oh.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound in...
Sometimes when I'm going through my show notes and things like that, you know, I really do put show notes down and stuff and try to be as efficient as possible. And there's some things that I just get really hung up on and want to rant and rave. And tonight it just happens to be the Democratic Mafia and this LG&E franchise fee, because we are the fourth highest tax city in the nation. But, you know, when we look at that kind of stuff, though, and Paul, you're still with us, and I appreciate you staying through. You know, and by the way, if you guys are listening, Q, hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard. For everybody else, call in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. You know, Paul, we talk about all of this stuff. We're talking about the LG&E so-called franchise, or whatever the hell they want to call it today. We talked about the Louisville Water Company raising rates every year. We mentioned MSD's 5.5% rate increase again. But, you know, even when we look at this, let's look at the reasons why. Because MSD is saying that the reason they're raised rates now is because we have become too efficient. You know, Chad Collier, MSD's finance director, told the board that they had to have a rate increase, which is the rate increase anymore is just a given. MSD is going to go between 5.5% and 7% each and every year because they don't have to require any approval to do it. But according to Chad Collier, the reason they need all this, they've got to do this, is because they don't have enough revenue to cover their spending requirements. And why don't they have enough revenue to cover their spending requirements? Because people are using less water because our homes are becoming more efficient. So, you know, and he used the example that the typical household uses just 5,000 gallons of water a month now as compared to 6,000 gallons of water a month just a few years ago. Now, to me, it's counterproductive. What is our incentive to make our homes more efficient if every dollar that we spend on new efficient stuff for our homes is still going to cost us $1.50 on new fees because we're using less water or we're using less electric or all of these other things? I don't get it. Remember, they were pushing this down our throat a few years ago, and now we've complied, saying, okay, we'll become more economical. They're saying, well, now we get to drive more money from you. What does all that mean, Paul? Why do they think this is good?
Well, I'm going to draw, and I'm probably going to raise the ire of at least a couple of your listeners with this next statement. And that is, I think we have seen that this is another real life example of what happens when the environmentalists win their point. All right, the environmentalists have said for years that we need to cut down on pollution, we need to reduce our use of precious limited resources, And they define the clean water as one of those limited resources, which is just astonishing to me in this country anyway. So we end up achieving those kinds of goals, and then we are punished for achieving those goals in the form of higher rates. And the environmentalists are saying, oh, we got cleaner water. And the ones that and they never, they don't care who it costs or how much it costs, as long as they get their way. It's just that simple. And they are absolutely standing up and cheering this Obama edict, executive order, that is mandating the EPA to reduce the pollution from coal-fired power plants. And, of course, Kentucky has not supported Obama. So as far as I'm concerned, his edict is absolutely payback politically at the heart of what a huge part of Kentucky's economy depends on, and that's coal revenue.
I agree 100%.
Okay.
I mean, our economy
so
does.
So anyone who thinks, whoever thinks that Obama is this big-hearted guy, they're absolutely living in la-la land, because Obama is a political creature to the max. He's as political creatures get. There are no big-hearted anything coming from this man. Okay.
Well, and it's not just him. I mean, that's the whole thing. This isn't just one man. I mean, this, you know, Obama has the White House right now, and he's abusing, you know, quite frankly, unconstitutionally, in my opinion, the executive orders and executive privilege. But, you know, when we look at all of this, though, I mean, this is just basically the liberal mindset. I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about here. But it's not just Barack Obama, as we talked about earlier with our local Democratic Mafia Council members. It's the same way. It's liberalism. The fact is that liberalism, that mindset of getting something for nothing and making everybody comply, is alive and well. You know, and it actually, truthfully, I mean, it really does make us appreciate. I mean, I'll tell you a good example of how bad liberalism is. Fox News, for example. Fox News Network is blowing away the competition, CNN and MSNBC. Fox News is primarily a conservative news show. Fox News listenership is 61%, over 61% higher than the rest of the news, CNN, MSNBC, and all the others combined. So when we look at these things, that's why. Because people in this country are starting to wake up to those like Barack Obama and this liberal mindset. But here in Louisville, here in Kentucky, we haven't gotten past that yet. That's why Nashville and Indianapolis have went ahead and moved on above us quite some years ago and continue getting further ahead. What's it going to take here, Paul? How do we change this?
Well, the late, great Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, actually probably described Kentucky's mindset the best. And it is, he said, when the end of the world comes, he wants to be in Kentucky because Kentucky's 20 years behind everybody else. So I think it just takes a little bit longer. But here's the good news. When Kentucky wakes up, they'll wake up with a fury like no man can stand. And I say that because we actually have historical precedent for that, going back to the American Revolutionary War. Just a quick aside that parallels this.
Okay.
There was a battle of American Revolution that hardly anybody knows about. I don't believe it was covered much in public school training. It's called the Battle of Kings Mountain. And that became a pivotal battle. And in the 65 minutes, revolutionaries headed up by five different generals, one of which was General Isaac Shelby, who headed a Kentucky contingent, went to Kings Mountain and defeated a bunch of British loyalists. Now, this British loyalist thing, it's really important, Ed, because the loyalist angle is very similar to what we have today. We've got a bunch of apologists for Obama. They are the loyalists of today. The loyalists of the Revolutionary War era, they were Americans who happened to side with the king, okay? They said the king knows what's best. Well, don't we have kind of an emperor king right now in the form of Obama? And don't we have a bunch of loyalists saying, we're going to do whatever Obama wants? Let me tell you what happened. In the 65 minutes it took to wage that battle, the revolutionaries, the patriots, soundly defeated. They gave a good old-fashioned mountain ass-kicking to the British loyalists under the command of a British regular by the name of Ferguson. And shortly after that, when the word spread through the rest of the then nation, the tide of the war changed completely. The British were successful at recruiting their loyalists up until that battle, and the word got out. And when the word got out, the people who were thinking about becoming a British loyalist, they were scared to death because they thought they would be targeted by the patriots. And, Ed, that's where we are right now. You're talking about liberals. The liberals are enjoying right now. They're winning a lot of battles right now. But let it be heard here on your radio network, probably not for the first time, and it won't be for the last. Those of you who are liberals, your day is coming sooner than what you think it is, and I will tell you this, the amount of hostility that you all have created amongst everyone else who's not a liberal is pent up to the max, and you will incur fury like you have never experienced in your life.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. Speaking of fury and wording and talking, let's welcome our good friend Mayo to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm just kind of dumbfounded. I mean, you were talking about liberal, et cetera, and I don't know if you all talked the first 20 minutes or something you're going to bring up later in the show, but you know, everybody's touting this. Oh, we got this American soldier back. You know, Bo. I can't think of his last name right now. Saved my life.
Gerhard. Actually, we were planning on talking about that later this week, but let's get into it, man, because I tell you, that is an interesting story as well, because we have never allowed ourselves to negotiate.
Is, right?
Huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, but the guy, you know, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, he was kidnapped by the Taliban. No, he's an American Muslim, and he walked off the army base willingly to the Taliban.
Yep. He deserted. He deserted.
Yeah. I mean, but the news is just now, a couple of different news outlets today are talking about this.
Oh, yeah, finally.
And six other American soldiers died searching for this guy. They were killed searching for the man. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the guys released weren't low-level guys. I mean, I could understand if this guy was a colonel, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, what, is he a corporal? A sergeant, maybe. But, I mean, the people that were released, one was the head of intelligence for Al-Qaeda. The other one was the general trainer for, the army and different insurgent, deals. Every one of these people that they released, they were not low-level scrubs. I mean, they weren't pawns. They weren't NCOs. These guys were like colonels to generals in, like, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Right. Well, and that's
and how are they calling Al-Qaeda? I mean, the one person said something. They go, well, prisoner of war. I'm going, what war? The Taliban? What nation declared war against us? And since when has the Taliban become a uniformed, recognized army by anyone?
Well, and that's very, very true. And that's a big thing. I mean, here, the guy's name is Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. But, when we look at this, I mean, this guy walked off the base. Or walked off post. And what's disturbing here is that he wanted to be part of the Taliban. As a matter of fact, when his parents tried to talk to him on the phone, he wasn't even speaking English anymore. He was speaking, whatever language they're using over there. So, and we release all of these big names, Mohammed Fazi, Ghulam Nouri, Mohammed Nabi, Abdul Wasik. I mean, all of these big names. These are the top five Taliban leaders that were at Gitmo. And they were released to get this one guy who decided he wanted to desert and become a Taliban member and a Muslim over there. And this guy had been acting crazy and doing stupid stuff throughout anyway. So I don't get this. But more importantly, it's very strange that Yeah, well, it's not strange because I've told everybody from the beginning about Barack Obama's Muslim ties and everything else, but it's very disheartening to think that this president thinks it's okay to negotiate like this for a hostage, especially a hostage that really, truthfully, hostage is a subjective word in his case. It's very disturbing that it came to that and that he thought that this was an okay deal. I mean, this just literally violated everything that America has stood for or ever has done when it came to hostage negotiations. We just proved how weak we are because we allowed this president to do this. Go ahead.
Well, then when he was just trying to remember who was the guy Obama hugged, but basically he hugged him right after he said the phrase, like, you know, it's not Allah Akbar, it's a less known, but it's basically, you know, Allah is great, the greatest of God or something.
Right.
I can't remember. You know. But I'm going, and then he hugs him, and I'm sitting there going, okay, can I get a translation? Start going to Google, and I'm checking, you know, and I'm going, what the, you know.
Right.
And nobody is seeing this.
No.
Okay, Qatar, I mean, all the different tie-ins we've talked about over the past couple of years, and they're wondering, oh, well, why was Qatar chosen?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But, hey, you know, hey, this is just, for me, the bigger picture is, I mean, we have so many POWs, MIAs, you know, so many soldiers have lost their lives in captivity. I mean, even John McCain, and I don't have any respect for John McCain anymore, you know, because he's been carrying Obama's water for many years now, but even John McCain didn't understand this one. He can't sell it. So, you know, and that in itself ought to tell you something, but it's very disturbing that we can do something like this, that this president could do something like this in our name and basically just tell every soldier that's ever died, screw you. I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, pardon my French, but that's the ultimate fuck you. I mean, it is to me. I'm a veteran, and I take this personally. I take it to heart, and I was very shocked for it. We're actually going to get into a lot of this Wednesday night. I want to break all of this down, but then we'll have some more information available and all of the different things that this guy is known to have done while he was over in Afghanistan. But it's very disturbing that this president thinks he can do that. He can sign executive orders at will. He can make these kind of negotiations, give up five of the top Taliban leaders. We always talk about 911. We continue to use 911 as a fear factor for a hidden military agenda. And now what does that say about 911? We're saying, let's give these five guys back so they can plan some more bombings and more killings of Americans, you know, to get this one guy back who probably didn't want to be here anyway. It's that whole mindset, Mayo. You know, I don't know what to do about it. It's very frustrating. And you had to bring it up, didn't you? Uh-oh. We've lost Mayo. Okay, well, Mayo seems to have been gone now. And Paul actually had to drop off the line. He hasn't come back yet either. But I tell you, you know, it really is amazing to me that we continue to have these kind of situations. And Obama is still president. Eric Holder, the Justice Department, was involved in these negotiations. He's still there. Why? Why? Why have we, the American people, kept these guys there? It makes no sense to me. I just don't get it. I really don't. Ken, you're on the air, brother. What's going on?
Hey, you asked the question. I've got your answer. Why are we
there
putting up with this? Because no one has the guts to do anything about it. That's the same plain, simple truth. At the end of the day, what's the ultimate check and balance on this, right? It's impeachment. Who's going to be the one that gets written in the history books for 100 years as the first group to impeach a black president? I'm just telling you what it is. It's what it is.
Well, you know, you're absolutely 100%
correct. He's got a free pass, man. As long as Congress doesn't defund it, which right now, it being a split Congress, they can't even decide to defund things, mm-hmm. He's got carte blanche to do whatever he wants. As long as he's got the cash, he can do it. And that's what it's
Well,
gonna
at the same time, well, I agree with you. I agree with you on a carte blanche attitude. But, and I do agree with you. Nobody wants to go into history and record books as you know, impeaching the first black president. I agree with that as well. You know, people say that's racist all they want to, but that's reality. That's the world we live in. At the same time.
And I want to clarify real quick, Ed, I just want to clarify. I'm not racist. I'm not trying to be racist about it. It's not a racial thing. I'm just plain fact, man. Nobody wants to be the one that's in the history books for that. I mean, that's just the truth, not a racial thing.
Well, I agree.
Really.
I agree, and there's nothing racist about that. But, you know, but that's the way to be portrayed to people who listen to the show later in podcasts. I'll let them believe what they want to believe. But the reality is you're right on those counts. And at the same time, you know, it's really interesting as well because Richard Nixon resigned rather than face impeachment. So let's get that much clear. A lot of people are talking about, well, we impeached Richard Nixon over Watergate. No, the process was ongoing, but Richard Nixon actually resigned office. So we didn't have to worry about that. So the impeachment process went forward with former President Bill Clinton. All right, and he was basically being impeached for lying under oath about getting a blowjob from Monica Lewinsky in the White House. Okay, that's about as simple a cut and dry as you can get it. But when we look at this, we also had a divided government at that time. You know, you had a Republicans controlling one chamber who voted to impeach. You had the Democrats controlling the other who wouldn't do it. So you couldn't
actually
get the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Where are we at today? Go ahead.
Republicans control both houses. Republicans control both houses. There was a 55-45 majority of Republicans in the Senate, and the Republicans controlled the House. You had 10 Republicans. I just looked this up today. It's the only reason I know this. There were 10 Republicans that voted not guilty to make it a 55-45 verdict not guilty. Other than that, it was a partisan vote or a partisan line vote. So it's 55-45 against, but only because 10 Republicans split.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say.
I was just going to say the IP phone. the point is that even if we did it today, right, even if it were 55-45 in the Senate today, I guarantee you that there would not be 51 votes for impeachment. I can guarantee you that. There would be Republicans that would not go along with that. And so the point is he's got a blank check and he's a lame duck. All he has to do is wait to get through this set of elections, and he can do whatever he wants for the next 2 years. Because what's going to happen?
Well, he's already doing whatever he wants to, Ken. I mean, he's using executive order like crazy. And don't get me wrong, I know every president has abused the executive orders and executive privilege, including George Bush. So I don't want anybody calling me or sending me hate mail. Well, George Bush did it, so I don't know why Obama can't. No, they all do it. But let's look
at
the reality.
That's because two wrongs obviously make a right.
Yeah, exactly.
Two wrongs always make a right.
That's right. It's exactly right. But, you know, when we look at this, though, and we look at the big picture here, you know, we have to also realize what effect and what were these executive orders used for? You know, what was the end game for executive orders used by Bush or Bill Clinton or others before them? You know, executive orders are only supposed to be used as emergency powers anyway. In times of an emergency or a crisis, they're not supposed to be used ad nauseum as they like to use them now anyway. But when we look at what Obama has done, I mean, he's trying to control guns. He's trying to do everything to circumvent the Congress that he can possibly do to get his own agenda. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. And, you know, when you look at this impeachment process, too, I must say it's not a simple majority that can impeach a president. You know, you have to have the supermajority to do that, and that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the rub. We've got divided houses because you don't have the supermajority of both houses to do that. Republicans, even if they win the Senate back in November and they control the House and the Senate, they won't have that majority that's needed. And the real issue here is I don't even think that the problem is so much they're scared to about the black president situation. I think that they got their butts handed to them in the Bill Clinton situation, and Ken Starr and everything else that was out there going started with Whitewater ended up getting caught lying about having an extramarital sex was the only thing they could get him for. You know, it made the Republicans look real, real bad. It made them look real bad, and I think they're scared now that they have the right opportunity, the right as might, if you will, on their side. They're scared to follow through and do their job. Because they still got egg on their face from the Bill Clinton years. That's what I think. You know,
no,
but I tell you,
I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what it is. They, on top of the fact that nobody wants to be in the history books, and so there is no way in heck that they're going to do it again. I mean, they've already gotten their hands slapped. Half those guys that are still there from that time, so there's no way they're going to do it again.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. And that's exactly what I'm getting at. Our good friend Sizeris just put us in the chat room for us. And, you know, the House, a simple majority vote in the House can impeach a federal official, including the president, vice president, et cetera. But removal from office requires a two-thirds supermajority of the Senate. And that's what I was talking about. So thanks for putting that out there, Cy. But, you know, we look at all of this stuff, and that's really what it comes down to. And I think because they had their butts handed to them in a Clinton mess, you know, even though they know that they've got Obama dead to rights, if you will, in this particular case, that's when what you said a second ago that I agree with kicks in, where they don't want to, they're too scared of being the first ones in history to impeach the first black president of the United States. So it gives them that easy out. They can use that as an easy out politically, if you will, you know, to convince themselves and their conscience that it's okay to ignore this. It's awful. It's pathetic. But I tell you what else is awful and pathetic, man. We are completely out of time. This hour flies by like the wind sometimes. Ken, I appreciate it. Guys are listening to this show. Don't forget to check out Ken. He actually has his own show right here on the MVM Radio Network, Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, Liberty Unbridled. Fantastic show. If you're into the Constitution, liberty, libertarian issues, you need to check this guy out. He is all that and then some. Thanks for calling in, Ken. Our good appreciation to Mayo for calling in as well. And for Paul, who mysteriously disappeared. He has some stuff to take care of. All three of you guys, we appreciate the phone calls. Hey, real short and sweet, folks. You get what you pay for in this life. That's it. You get what you pay for. We're paying these clowns in office to screw us every chance they get. It's not cheap. They're getting paid good money to represent us, but they're getting paid better money to misrepresent us. Thanks to your lobbyists and everybody else that are involved in the process, thanks to these government loan programs and government grant programs, yes, that this city itself relies on to make sure that we can make our ends meet. Yeah, we're all poor. That's the way it is. But it makes it even worse when our own government goes after the poorest among us and says, hey, we're going to take more. It reminds me of the reason why we needed a guy by the name of Robin Hood. Rob from the rich and give to the poor. Because the rich are stealing us blind. LG&E surcharge fee. MSD water rate increase because we listened to them and we became economical. But they're not going to lose a dime. We're saving all kinds of water. But we're paying more for it now. So what did that accomplish? What did that accomplish? So forget the spin, forget the hype, forget the needles. And oh, by the way, forget GLI. For you business leaders that listen to this show, you listen to it all the time, write me at LouisvillePolitics@gmail.com or MyViewMatters@AOL.com. I will send you all the background information you need on your good friend Kent Euler. This guy isn't going to do any good for this city no more than his predecessors did. He's more of the same. He's a Democratic-connected hack, in my opinion. And I can back it up. That's the beauty. That's what makes us different than any other news source right here in Louisville or in Kentucky, or hell, indeed, across the nation. We don't get scared to put out the news. We don't get scared to tell the truth, and we don't get scared to back it up with fact. Investigative journalism is dead, but not here. We're going to bring it to you. But you know what? None of that matters if you don't get involved. If you get what you pay for, then why are you accepting this? Makes no sense to me. Get involved, make a difference. Tomorrow night, don't forget, program note, new changes. Dale the Truth, the TNT show, has now moved to Tuesday nights beginning tomorrow night. Dale will be here live on air with you tomorrow night, and I'll be back again on Wednesday and Thursday. And don't forget our good friend Ken Moman, Sunday night with Liberty Unbridled. All shows air at 7 o'clock right here on the network. Have a great night, folks. Thanks for listening. Take care.